That's me. Good to see everybody out tonight.
Did everybody notice that Carla didn't?
Yeah, an unintended miss in the bulletin. Carlinda has, if you've noticed, your songbooks have ribbons. If you maybe where you were sitting last week didn't have a ribbon, it should have a ribbon now. Carlinda and her girls has spent at least 2 days that I know for sure up here working on that, maybe more. Nobody checks in with me for sure, so they put in a lot of work, and that's a good thing. That was kind of told to me. They said, your dad made a mistake. He ordered songbooks without ribbons in them. And I said, maybe, but that's also a guy that said he could save $35 for not putting a ribbon in and we could use the overhead. He probably thought he was saving 6 cents a songbook. So, but who knows, but it'll be a good thing because, and I'm not one of the person that, I'm really not, I don't braid them, but I'm impressed with the people that can braid those things. It always impresses me, but don't do that anymore, please. Anyway, several years ago, there was a church that had a Christmas pageant. They had a group of four-year-olds, and everything was going along pretty well. Mary and Joseph arrived at the inn, and the four-year-old Joseph asked, do you have any room for us? And no came from the reply from the innkeeper. The inn is full. And little Joseph said, but it's so cold outside, and my wife is going to have a baby. Don't you have any place for us? And the little innkeeper paused for the longest time, and he said, I'm not supposed to say this, but come on in. Well, you know, we see in Luke chapter 2 where Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room at the inn. And then down through the ages, there have been a few misunderstandings about the Christmas story. Jesus probably wasn't born on December 25th. It was more likely late September, early October. And I don't really even know how they came up with that, except that it wasn't then. And there's nothing that we can find really about Mary riding a donkey into Bethlehem. And we know, despite growing up, that Jesus wasn't born in a red barn. It was probably where Israel recognizes now. It's a cave underneath a house is where they say that Jesus was born. So it was probably something very like that. There are three kings, of course, were never called kings, wise men. They didn't show up when Jesus was born. It was probably about 2 years later. And of course, most scholars, they take great pride in telling us that Bethlehem was too small to have a day's inn. And one said that the Bible never even really mentions an innkeeper. In fact, it's possibly that there was never an inn at all. The Greek word that's translated as inn is usually translated as loosely as a generic place to stay. So that's good. That's nice. But it's irrelevant, but it's nice. And the reason it's irrelevant is because the main focus of Scripture was this. There was no room for them. Whether it was an inn or it was a house, there was no room. And the question is this, is why not? Why wasn't there room for this very pregnant mother and her husband to stay? Now again, granted, Bethlehem was crowded. Luke tells us that Caesar Augustus had decreed that all the world should be registered, and that all who went to be registered each went to his own town. So everybody who was born in Bethlehem came home. They came here, came home, and the problem was that Joseph and Mary were a little bit late to the party. That all the available space had been taken. But you'd have thought that somebody would have been like that four-year-old innkeeper, that somebody would have taken pity on an expectant mother. Somebody would have made room, but there was nobody. There was no room anywhere. No room for Christ. And why? Well, I think tonight we'll look at a few thoughts on that. Number one is that the reason there was no room was because really Jesus didn't fit into their lives. When we studied a lot of John on Sunday mornings, John 1:11 tells us that he came into his own, but his own did not receive him. People rejected Mary and Joseph partly because they had their lives to live. They had a place to stay. Mary and Joseph didn't. too bad. We got here first. In order for them to have a place to stay, somebody else would have to given up their place for them. And people just can't be bothered like that. Letting Jesus be born in their room or in their home was inconvenient. Now, I've noticed that really people haven't changed much over the years. Jesus is still pretty inconvenient in our culture. I was told recently by a friend that they went to Walmart a couple of weeks before Halloween and they were pretty dismayed that the Christmas decorations were already out. And I kind of said, you know, one of the days they'll probably just start decorating after the 4th of July, and you can't really blame them. That's where the big money is for businesses. So they go on and say they're making their way down the aisle, and they're looking at the Christmas ornaments and decorations, deciding they're going to buy one of those yard ornaments. And they said they were selling all kinds of Santas and reindeers, things like that. But notice that there weren't any wise men or manger scenes or anything like that. No star to light up the heavens. I don't find that very surprising. They did. They were a little bit offended by it. But I think that, you know, maybe somebody is figuring out that the baby Jesus is dangerous. And they're right. That innocent baby that's born in a manger is a proclamation that God became flesh and dwelt among us. The angel told Mary that they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So maybe people have begun to catch on that Jesus would grow up one day to be a man. A man who would go on to say things that would make people angry. A man who would go on to be beaten and whipped and murdered on a cross. And all the world would watch this happen and do nothing. But Jesus came to die for sinners. And that means that everybody is a sinner. And people don't like to hear that. That truth is inconvenient for a world that would rather not be bothered. There's no room in their homes, no room in their lives for Jesus to be born, let alone grow up and be a man. And we can be upset about that, or we can take it as a challenge. We're really facing some of the same challenges that's been faced since Jesus was born. Again, John 1:11 tells us that he came to his own, but they did not receive him. People didn't get excited about accepting him then. We know they don't get real ramped up about it now. And yet, followers of Christ have literally turned the world upside down. People became Christians by the thousands, and they didn't even have a manger scene in their yards to proclaim their faith. How could Christians have possibly changed the world without Christmas decorations to proclaim that Jesus has been born? Well, they did what we all do. They started by talking to people about Jesus. And then they told others why he meant so much to them. In the same way, that's how we change the world around us. And if we can see that the Christmas story does that for people, so much the better. But we've got to realize that our culture isn't going to help us as much as we like to think maybe they did in times earlier. Just like the early church, it's up to us to allow God to use us. So the first reason is that there's no room at the inn was that Jesus didn't fit into their lives. And the second was that Jesus' message didn't fit into their thinking. And I think I could try explaining this in some different ways, but the first thing that occurred to me was that Mary was pregnant. And her pregnancy had a taint of illegitimacy. When she showed up in Bethlehem, Joseph was still betrothed to her. They weren't technically man and wife yet, so many folks no doubt believed that either she'd been sleeping around or Joseph had gotten her pregnant before she got married. Either way, nobody wanted her in their home. There was no room because they saw her as a sinful woman. And from his birth onward, the question of who his father was everywhere. In those days, if a boy was illegitimate, he was often named from the town he came from. Thus, you never hear of Jesus being called Jesus ben Joseph or Jesus the son of Joseph, but he's almost always referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. And in the midst of his ministry, we've talked about this in John chapter 8, they even snidely said, we, the Jews, the Jewish leadership, we're not illegitimate children. And they didn't exactly point their finger at Jesus and say, but we know who is. But I think it's implied there. Now, do you think God knew that they were going to say something like that? Do you think that God set this whole thing in motion by having a virgin bear the Christ child, that people would accuse him of being illegitimate? I think of course he did. It was part of the gospel message. Now think about this. Who carried Jesus into Bethlehem? It was Mary. And if I'm right, Mary was rejected because the sin the people thought they saw in her life. Thus, the people had no room for Jesus because they had no room for sinners. But sinners are who Jesus came to save. And sinners are the ones that Jesus used to spread his message. The gospel was spread by people who were imperfect and rejected by this world. Way back in 1792, there was a boy named Joseph Moore who lived in Salzburg, Austria. I've probably told this story before. He was an illegitimate child, and children then born out of wedlock were looked down on by the Austrians pretty hard, and they levied a huge fine on Joseph's mother. And in addition, because of his illegitimacy, he was banned from attending school, from learning a trade, or from even holding a job. But Joseph Moore loved to sing. And eventually, he would go on to become a priest. And one night, he wrote a song that we all know. He wrote Silent Night, which is one of the most popular Christmas songs ever written. It's been translated in over 200 languages. And God used this once rejected, illegitimate child named Joseph to write a song of praise for the baby Jesus, the baby who also faced rejection and was accused of being illegitimate. My point is that God can use and will use anyone who's willing to tell others about Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been. God can and will use you if you allow him. And that leads us to our third reason, I believe, that people had no room for Jesus. Babies are cute, and they're sweet, but they really can't do anything for you. They gurgle and smile, and they're entertaining, but they don't do anything. You got to feed them and birth them and change them and rinse them and repeat over and over again. When it comes to Jesus, a lot of people didn't have room for him because they see him as not doing anything for them. And there's still a lot of people today who won't become Christians because they don't think Jesus does anything for them. I read an article of a retired minister now living in Florida, and he told of a couple that he's been visiting with, and he noted that they are really nice people, and that was a really big problem because they didn't think they needed Jesus. This couple believed that God would accept them because of their kindness and their goodness. Again, we've said it a couple of times. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Why wouldn't folks receive him? Because they didn't think they needed him. They had other ways, they thought, of going to heaven. And that's what the first verses of John 1 tells us. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, here's the important part, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John is very clear. Some people thought they could get into heaven because of their blood. And in those days, if you were born of a Jewish family, you were a Jew. You were part of the old covenant because of the blood of your ancestors. But John is explaining you can't do it that way with Christ. The only way you can become a Christian is by being reborn with Jesus. And John says you can't get to heaven by the will of flesh. A person can't decide they will be accepted by God on how nice or how righteous that they think they are. Most people kind of think like this. They believe that if they do enough good things, God's going to be impressed and they will be allowed to walk, I guess, right in past the gates. Their own self-righteousness will get them in. In fact, they think they deserve to be saved, and they believe that God couldn't keep them out if he wanted to because they bought their ticket with their kindness and their goodness. And thirdly, John says you can't get into heaven by the will of man. And there are a lot of people that believe you can make that choice for other people. Babies get sprinkled, the child magically becomes a Christian, but John says you can't do that. The will of the parent or the grandparent or the spouse cannot get someone else into heaven. It is your own personal decision to to belong to Christ. Becoming a Christian is very simple. You have to make a decision. You have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, or you don't. You have to believe He died for your sins, not someone else's. You have to accept that your sin would rob you of heaven, and so you need to repent of that sin, and you have to confess that Jesus is your Lord and Master, and then you have to decide to be buried in the waters of baptism to be brought up as a new creature. You, again you, not anybody else. So just a quick review as we finish up. There was no room for Jesus because, one, He didn't fit into people's lives. He was inconvenient. Two, His message didn't fit into people's thinking. He came for the lost. And three, they rejected Him because they didn't think He could do anything for them. And just a closing thought, there was no room in Bethlehem, mostly, for sure, because God planned it that way. God chose to have Jesus born in a manger in an obscure town named Bethlehem for a reason. It's a powerful story that resonates still today. You remember that story of the 4-year-old innkeeper at the Christmas play. His story is one of many that's out there. The total unfairness of Mary and Joseph being turned down for a place to stay is so powerful that children rebel against it. Every part of this story still speaks to children and adults to this day. A baby being born in a lowly manger. And that's exactly how God intended it. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of the congregation, now would be an opportune time to make that known, as together we